If we obey God, He will command the blessings to overtake us. I like it when God commands the blessings to overtake me, but I got to obey Him and do my part or it don't work. Okay, let's go to the next chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3 has got some really awesome stuff in it. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to mature Christians. I had to talk as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. You're going to have some of these kind of people in your church. You know, I hope we don't have a lot of those. I hope you're getting trained enough where you don't meet the... He tells us what it takes to be like this as we go on down through here. He said, I couldn't talk to you as mature Christians. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. So if you see an infant in the Christian walk is about the same thing as a lost person. There's really not much difference. So you have to get in there and begin to renew your mind daily with the Word of God to begin to make this new creature become accustomed to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and how He works. He said, I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food. I mean, you know, milk is okay when you're a baby. You know, that's good stuff. It'll keep you alive. But how many of you would like to be, how would you like to have went 70 years and be like me, 72 or 3 years old now, and the only thing you could drink is milk? I like a T-bone steak or something once in a while, don't you? I like something good that'll stick to my ribs, you know. I love something good. He says, I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't handle anything stronger and you still aren't ready. Wow, he had some pretty lousy people in the Corinthian church, didn't he? I'm glad you guys are not there. I'm glad y'all are way ahead of this. Verse 3 and 4, let's see what it says there. For you are still controlled by your own sinful desires. Okay, now we're going to find out if we're there or not. He's fixing to tell us. You're still controlled by your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another, and you quarrel with each other. Now, I know none of y'all ever do that in here, do you? Do you? You don't have to answer. You know, just say it in your spirit. Lord, I'm sorry if that's me. If I'm jealous or I'm quarreling or I'm hard to get along with, all these kind of things. What's he trying to say? I'm not where I need to be, right? You know, so how can you tell if people are spiritual? I mean, somebody comes along and says something really bad to you and slaps you in the face. You say, praise God, let me shake your hand. You know, I love you. Praise God. You know, I don't care if you slap me right in the face. I still love you. Now then, is that a spiritual man that can do that? That's a spiritual man. Is that the way we should all be? We shouldn't quarrel. You know, your wife does something. I know none of y'all has a wife that would ever get out of sorts with you. But if she ever did, you don't jump back at her and be hard at her. You love her. You see what I mean? Or if you get out of sorts. Now, I know we never do that as guys, do we? But he says there, you know, you are still controlled by your own sinful desires. I hope we're not controlled by those. You are jealous of one another. I mean, gee whiz, they got a new car and I'm driving one 10 years old. What kind of deal is this, God? I need a better car. That's not what we should do it, is it? We should say, Tom got a new car. Praise God for Tom getting a new car. The Lord's blessing him. But he says, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your own desires? Now, there's two ways you can be controlled, either by your own desires or by the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit's in control, you'll be a totally different person, right? I remember a man. He was a contractor I used to use a lot out at DFW Airport. When I first met him, I began to talk to him about Jesus. Thurman, you know that Jesus stuff. My wife goes to church. I ain't got time to go to church. I have to make a living. I told him, I said, your life would totally change if you'd give it to God. He tried to believe me, but he couldn't. You know, he was totally dead spiritually. So one day I had him set up to do a job, and I called him, and I said, Larry, I said, I want to make sure that you're going to be here in the morning to do that job because we've got to move a lot of stuff for you to paint. He said, Thurman, I'm so glad you called. He said, I can't make it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm sitting here. He said, I believe it was his left knee. He said, I fell off of a scaffold today and I sprained my left knee. And he said, it swelled up so tight that I can't. My wife, when I got home a while ago, my wife had to take a pair of scissors and cut my britches off of me. He said, my leg is swelled that bad. I said, Larry, can I pray for you? He said, I was hoping you were going to ask. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I quoted some scripture. I said, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to restore Larry's leg and make it down to a normal size. I said, thank you, Father, for your promises, which are always yes and amen. So I want to thank you for that. You've completely healed Larry. I said, Larry, I'll see you in the morning at 7 o'clock. Be here. And I hung up the phone. The next morning, Larry walked up to my office and looked in the window. He tapped on it. I said, come on in, Larry. He come in and he said, took a couple steps. He said, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. He said, I was sitting there in my chair. I was in excruciating pain. My legs swelled up so big. He said, and you called and you prayed that prayer of faith. And he said, within 5 minutes, my leg went to tingling. And my leg within 5 minutes was normal size. And I could get up and walk normal without a single pain. Well, another time he had another little problem. And I prayed for him and he got healed then too. And so he started going to church with his wife. Well, 2 or 3, 4 years goes by, and one day I was down at the shop, and for the first time ever, I saw a car around behind, and I went over around behind there, and it was Larry and a woman. And I didn't realize, I knew he was married because he told me, but I didn't know who she was because I never saw her. So when I pulled up there, I'm sure she said, who's that? And he said, that's Thurman Scrivener. So this woman that I've never seen jumps out of the car, comes running to me as I step out of my pickup and grabs me, puts her arms around me and kisses me on the cheek and says, Thurman, I love you. And I thought, wow, who is this woman? I said, ma'am, I don't even know who you are. What did I do? Oh, she said, I guess I should have introduced myself, said I'm Larry's wife. She said, I'm so grateful. She said, after you talked to Larry and after you got him healed those 2 times, my husband's become such a different man. Said, used to when we were driving down the road, if somebody were to cut him off or whatever, nearly hit him, she said he'd drive 80 or 90 miles an hour to catch him. She said, you have no idea the times he almost scared me to death. And said, after you prayed for him and got him full of the Holy Ghost, she said, now it don't make any difference. If somebody were to tap our front fender, he'll just say, let me pray for you, brother. And said, he don't ever do that. She said, you have saved my life. Are we supposed to be making a difference in people's lives? Yes. You're supposed to be making a difference. If the Jesus you're serving is not making a difference in people's lives, you need to get tuned into the Spirit. Because He'll do it, won't He? Yes, He will. Then He says here, you're acting like people who don't belong to the Lord. There's a lot of us that do that. When one of you say, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I prefer Apollos, aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? What a shame. In fact, the other night, just a few days ago, I was working on an air conditioner. And there was another church, I was helping them out. I knew a lot about air conditioning. I was charging their air conditioner. One of the men there that was, I guess he was the father of one of the young teenagers that was a youth group. There was 2 boys that came out of this business that were not with the group, and they parked in the wrong place. And this man goes out there and reads these teenagers the riot act. I mean, he was mean. I thought, wow, man, he could have been a little bit more gentle with these people. And then later I asked somebody, I said, who is that guy? And they said, well, that's the dad of one of the boys that goes to the youth group. I thought, wow. But when he walked off, the 2 boys said, I don't know who they were. As this man that was supposedly the Christian, when he walked off, one of these boys said to the other boy, right there is why I will never be a Christian. That guy goes to church. Would you like to have a guy that goes to church talk to you like that every day? He said, because of people like that, I will never be a Christian. I thought, you know, they're watching us, aren't they? They were certainly watching him. In fact, I went to the pastor of that church. And so I said, you know who that guy was? He said, yes. I said, you need to tell that guy. He needs to get saved because I said, he don't know Jesus. He said, Thurman, that guy pays most of our bills. I said, I hate it when somebody tells me that. You're going to put up with this nonsense because he pays your bills? I said, you need to tell the guy he needs to start acting like a Christian. And the pastor walked off. Verse 5 and 6. Who is Apollos and who is Paul that we should be the cause of such quarrels? While we're only servants, through us God calls you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job was to plant the seed in your hearts. And Apollos watered it, but it was God who, not we, who made it grow. You know, if you're not walking in obedience to God's word and God doesn't show up in your ministry, what's going to happen? absolutely nothing. You know, you got to make sure that you're being led by the Spirit of God. And if you're being led by the Spirit of God, then the Lord will show up and do great and wonderful things in your ministry that He gives you. But if he didn't call you to do what you're doing, chances are you ain't going to get much. Verse 7 and 8. The ones who do the planting or watering aren't important. That's you and me. But God is important because He is the one who makes the seed grow. I mean, we have to give God all the glory for everything. We can't take anything, like Joseph said there a while ago, I believe it was Joseph, that said that, was it you or, no, Bill, about Howard Pittman. Howard Pittman did everything he did for himself. And the Lord, when he got home, that's what the Lord told him. You know, said, you are not going to get one single reward because you didn't do nothing for me on earth. You did it all for yourself. Now, how would you like to get home to heaven after living 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years and you thought you were working for God and that was the way it come out? You didn't do nothing for me. You ain't going to get no rewards. I'd rather be a buck private in heaven than a general in hell. I'll say that. But I really don't want to be a buck private in heaven either, especially after not what the King did for us. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose, yet they will be rewarded individually according to their own hard work. You will be rewarded according to your work. Verse 9 and 10. We work together as partners who belong to God. You are God's field, God's building, not ours. Because of God's special favor to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Verse 11 and 12. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if we try to build anything on anything other than Christ, it ain't going to fly. What you're doing has got to be based around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. There's a lot of things you can use to build on that foundation. And we know what happens if you build with wood or hay or straw, don't we? It doesn't last. Verse 13 and 14. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Secret Wisdom of God, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.